Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Paul Mercurio is in our studio, the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning comedian. He works on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and he has an off-Broadway show called Permission to Speak. He's bringing that show, I guess, to the North Shore Center in Skokie for two shows. Saturday, November 18th, you can get tickets at the northshorecenter.org. Paul, welcome to WGN in Chicago.
It's great to be here. Great studio overlooking the city. You got Reese's Chips Ahoy. I think I'm going to grab one at some point.
One of my colleagues here, Joe, the producer of the morning show, it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So this is the way I'm celebrating my birthday. I wrenched my back. So while you're standing up in the fancy console that we have here, they brought in a special chair and table for me so I can talk without going, "Rrr!"
Well, I brought you a birthday present.
What was that?
This big pen. I want you to have it. I wrapped it myself.
I told you before we started not to make me laugh because my range of motion and emotion is very limited here. So
I gotta eat. I'm hungry.
Don't do that to me, really. But I guess as a comedian, the worst thing I can say to you is don't make me laugh.
Exactly.
You and I actually talked off the air. We have more in common than maybe I would have guessed, right?
Yeah.
You have a dachshund? No, is your dog a dachshund?
No, she's mixed breed. We adopted her. Her name is Daisy.
I have a dizzy dappled dachshund named Daisy.
And we've been on strike with The Late Show for 5 months, and nobody got the bigger benefit from coming back to work than my wife and my dog and my kid, because they all find me annoying, particularly Daisy.
My dog Daisy hates me.
Thank you very much. We need to go out and have drinks together, because my dog...
No, our dogs need to go out and have
exactly.
drinks together.
Whenever, I'm not making this up, whenever I walk into a room, my dog gives me a dirty look and then walks into the other room. And I'm not kidding you. She looks at me like, "Oh, this idiot again." And she walks into that room. Then if I walk into that room, she looks at me like, "Really? I just got comfortable in here." Here's the deal, Paul. You're in that room. I'm in this room. And I saved the dog's life. We adopted this dog.
That was us too.
And I think that they should have a lemon law for adopting dogs, because they did not tell us that Daisy has a weak sphincter. So she's not able to control her you know what. So she would have these little accidents. And I'm Italian and I raise my voice at home, and one thing leads to another, and then there's these little squirting happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looks like an assisted living facility in my house. There's wee pads everywhere, okay? This is not my house anymore. It belongs to Daisy.
I could tell you the same story. It's funny, too, because my dog is protective. Maybe yours is. So if I go to embrace, kiss, or hug my wife,
right,
the dog's not happy about that. And I'll go, "Daisy, I'm buying the chicken." You know, but for me, you starve, if
exactly.
at best, right?
So here's what my voice said. My wife said, she said, "Daisy finds your voice annoying." I'm like, do I sound like a vacuum cleaner? Like, what is going on in my own house here? It's crazy.
Tell us about the show that you do. So what is Permission to Speak?
So it's born out of my stand-up. I like to talk to audiences, but really talk to them, not do crowd work and make fun of somebody's hat. And you get these amazing stories. And so I was approached by some Broadway producers. They saw me do it, and they said, "Can we do a theater show?" And that's what this is. So it's a theater show. It's directed by the great Frank Oz, who created The Muppets with Jim Henson, and he's Yoda, and directed, you know, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Bowfinger, etc. And I just come out. I introduce the show and the concept, which is we're disconnected. We're nameless and faceless to each other. But if we talk and share stories, we connect and we realize we have more in common than we think, and then maybe we're not so divisive. It's not a political show. I'm not interested in that. But it's funny, and it's all been working great. I did it in New York for a year and a half, and I just randomly pick people, and they come on stage, and they start telling stories.
Well, the moth is curated.
Yeah.
Do you stack the audience then with people that have stories?
No, I'm too lazy to do that.
That's a high wire, though, because what if somebody comes up and, I don't know,
I know within a... It very rarely, it's interesting, it's a great question. It rarely has happened that I've had a dud, and you know within... I know within 15 or 30 seconds if they're going to be good or not.
Yeah.
But literally everybody does indeed have a story. And so if they know that you're not going to compromise them and be mean, and you just are curious, they'll give you the world.
Well, do you ask them, "What is your story?" Or do you lead them in conversation?
No, I just say, like I said to a woman, "What's your name?" She goes, "Nydia." I think the key is what you do, why you're so great. You listen and react. Don't get ahead of yourself. She said, Nydia. I go, oh, Nydia, like Lydia? No, Nydia with an N. I go, that's an unusual name. How did you get that name? That's all I said. Oh, she said, my father got my mother pregnant with me, but at the same time was having an affair with a woman named Nydia, and he named me after the woman he was having an affair with.
Really?
And everybody did what the two of you just did, and their mouths hit the floor.
Holy cow.
So you don't, I find that they not only want to tell their stories, they need to tell their stories.
So are they sad? What if it's a sad story? What if their signature story is not funny?
I can find it.
You'll elicit some humor out of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, like I had a woman, a transgender person transitioning from being a woman to a man young. And I said, how did you tell your father? And he laughed. He goes, I don't remember because I have bipolar and I've had 3 electroshock treatments. And everybody was like, oh. And I just turned and said, wow. There are some things in my life I don't want to remember. Maybe I should get electroshock treatment.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. And then she said, she was great. She goes, well, I can give you the name of my doctor. And the place went crazy.
Hooray!
Because there's humor in all of it, right?
Yeah, but your show sounds warm, too. Like it's a celebration of...
It is. You know, without being cheesy, my director, Frank Oz, we never want to be kumbaya or fake whatever with that stuff. It's just real and just, you know, people just, you know, we've had a guy with polio on stage.
Okay, so I have the audio of him.
Yeah.
In our studio, Paul Mercurio, Emmy and Peabody Award winner, who's eating the cookies I told him not to eat.
I'm not touching them.
He's coming to the North Shore Center in Skokie November 18th for 2 shows. NorthShoreCenter.org is the place to get your tickets. And his off-Broadway award-winning show is called Permission to Speak, and he's been telling us about how he just randomly grabs from people in the audience and says, okay, you got a story. Let's liberate that thing.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
Yeah.
What about the guy that you were telling us about off the air? And then we'll play the clip that you were talking about on the air. But what about the guy with the priest or whatever?
We have this guy. I'll tell you the one about the polio. You want me to tell you the priest one or the polio one? We got the polio clip we can play.
Start with priest. No. Start with polio. Then we'll go to priest.
Yeah, the priest.
No. Start with priest. Then we'll go to polio.
So a guy comes on stage. He goes, you want a story? I got a story for you.
He just walks up.
Just like that. He goes, my wife is having an affair and leaving me for a priest in Liechtenstein. And I'm like, look, you can't do jokes. He goes, oh, no, I'm not joking. He goes, my wife. Her mother died. She's from Liechtenstein. We go there for the funeral. I come back. She stays to settle the estate, and the priest starts hitting on her. And one thing leads to another. They start having an affair. And I'm like, what? And they go, oh, yeah. And it gets worse. He goes, the guy's really overweight, and my wife likes to work out. So he starts working out with her, you know, to kind of get good with her. So not only is he sleeping with my wife, I helped him lose 30 pounds. And the place is just like everybody's jaws on the floor.
You get the feeling he so wanted to tell somebody or everybody
yes.
that.
And
here's the golden opportunity.
So here's the button to the whole story. I go, so what's going on now? Where's your wife? She goes, oh, she's living with me in the same house. I go, what?
Really?
He goes, yeah, we have a separate split house in Brooklyn and she's living. I go, and the place now is going like, oh, like it was just this wonderful story that
it keeps getting better/worse. Yeah. Well, where's the priest? Is he in Liechtenstein or has he come back with it?
I think he's still in Liechtenstein. I don't know if he's still a priest anymore.
Okay, but so you just pluck people from the crowd. You say you. Do they raise their hand if they want to tell
no,
a story?
No, I just
really?
Ask people.
And
to
they
come
know
up.
The drill. They're going to the show. They may be called upon to ask.
No, they don't actually until they get there. They don't know.
Okay,
so what we do is we take photos of people in the audience before they get in the lobby,
yeah.
And they don't know why. And we have a digital mapping program, and there's a really cool set where we project things into this big screen, and we project their faces onto the screen, so they're physically their faces are on the screen behind me during the show, and they love it.
It's called Permission to Speak. So yeah. What's the other story?
Well, there was a gentleman with crutches. It was clear to me he had an affliction, and I like to talk to people like that because I think people sometimes don't talk to people like that because they're worried about offending them. And I think you just talk to them like they're regular people. So I said, how are you, sir? What's going on? And he said, my name's Travis, and he has polio. And in this clip that we have, he's explaining to the audience how he explained to his 6-year-old daughter that he has polio.
Travis, how are you? What do we got here? What's the issue?
Polio.
Oh, yeah?
My kids are younger. I would go to the school plays. Obviously, kids would be like, yeah. Hey, is that your dad? Is he RoboCop? Blah, blah, blah. I would tell the kids, hey, I'm from Vietnam. That's how I got hurt. They were like, really? You were in Vietnam? And I was like, yeah. And it was a joke. But my daughter's 18 now. And a few months ago, she was like, Daddy, were you really in Vietnam? I was like, oh, I forgot. I told that. told everybody that when you were like six. I never fixed it.
He was the star of the night.
Yeah.
And if we tried to sit and come up with that scene, we'd be like, this, you can't even think of it. And that's the beauty of it, is like, even in the darkness of somebody having polio, there's comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's been really fun and really special. So I'm hoping people in the Skokie and Chicago area come out. And look, if I get a sense that somebody's just too whatever, I just say, hey, thanks, have a seat. It's not like anybody's going to. But trust me, I mean, that was only half of the story. The other half of the story was that Travis was at the show with his stepdad. Travis is 35. His stepdad is 38. Okay?
That'll happen.
So, like, just him alone. The show's like an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes total. That him alone was 25 minutes.
Do they ever turn to you and say, I'd like a percent of the gate?
Yes, I think they should.
I mean, come on. You're just asking questions. I carried you. I carried this room.
They totally do. I tell a couple of stories myself, and then I do a thing called a flip, where I let anybody in the audience come up who wants to volunteer and interview me and ask me whatever they want to ask me.
Do you talk about your parents?
Oh, God. Yeah, we have to. I mean, you and I have that in common. I know your folks are older and assisted living, and my mom is 95. And
as is my dad.
And my mother, we just closed her furniture store that she ran for 63 years, and we just closed it. And she's mad. She doesn't want to be retired. And she's secretly trying to find another store location to open. And I'm like, you're not doing that. She goes, what? I go, you're 95. You're not doing it.
Open a store, Mom.
But yeah, except we're done, right? She literally had she wouldn't throw things out. She wouldn't let us sell any furniture because she was trying to keep it to move it to somewhere else. So I said to her, Ma, you're retired. You still have your health. You're 90. We'll do fun things. We'll take you to the senior center. She goes, I'm not going there. Those people are old.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I'm like, you're old. You're 95. What do you think? You're going to go skydiving with Taylor Swift? You're old.
What's old? 180?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like, and then she grew up in the Depression. I don't know if your folks are like this. So she has some money, but every nickel that she wore. So, and she goes through people's garbage. They leave their garbage cans out.
Oh, she's a picker.
Yeah. And so she found her hearing aid in the garbage, and it whistles like, it's like a lot of.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like talking to a tea kettle in a house dress, basically. It's just been an ongoing kind of, you know, we tried to throw stuff out, right? You can't throw stuff out with older people.
No.
Because I throw it in the garbage.
Or get them to spend their money, which is what I'm like. When my dad was still driving in his 80s, 90, even, I'm sure we weren't doing this when he was 90, but I said, Dad, you've always dreamed of a really good new car. You know, he would never buy a Mercedes, but whatever that car would be for him, a Cadillac. Right. You know, I said, Dad, you've got the money for a Cadillac. It might cost you $80,000, but you're not rich. He always worked for the government, but he saved his money. I says, go get that car and drive it for the rest. Oh, no, are you kidding me? We're not driving a Cadillac.
Right.
All right, fine. Listen, I just have a minute or so left, but yeah. When you were on with Colbert, you write for him.
I do a bunch of different things. I perform on it and do different stuff, yeah.
Well, you told the story of Paul McCartney coming on your podcast.
Yeah.
And clearly you're a star in your own right, but Paul McCartney's a planet far away from most of us, isn't he?
Yes.
So just tell that story.
It's a longer story than a minute, but I'll tell you the truncated version. So basically, he was at the Late Show and he just finished rehearsal, and he was standing in the hallway all alone, just all alone, Paul McCartney leaning up against the wall.
Not his people around
him? No, that's the thing that threw me. He was all alone with a little Colbert t-shirt on, like a 12-year-old kid chewing gum, leaning up against the wall, looking at the ceiling. And I was completely thrown, in part because it was Paul McCartney, but mainly because he's alone. I rounded the corner. I was rushing to get into the studio. We're about to start taping. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Paul McCartney. Oh, my God. And I'm like, should I say hi? Should I not say hi? And I'm like, you know what? He's alone in the hallway without any security. He's like a gazelle on the Serengeti plane. I'm a lion. I'm going to pounce.
Absolutely.
And I go up to him and I say, it's an honor to meet you. I'm looking forward to your performance. And I start to walk away. And he goes, wait, come back. And I'm like, what? What do you want? I'm very
Paul
busy.
Paul McCartney, leave me alone.
And he goes...
it's something he's never heard in his life. Hey, Paul McCartney, leave me alone.
Yeah, he's like, can you just... I got stuff to do, buddy. No, so I go... he goes, what do you do? I go, I'm a stand-up. We start talking about stand-up, blah, blah, blah. And one thing leads to another. And as I'm talking to him, I'm sure you guys in the studio here with me and anybody listening have had this moment where you're talking to somebody, but your mind's bifurcated. And the other part of you is like, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Yeah. So, and I'm talking to him. And on the inside, I'm like, I'm on the outside, rather. I'm really smooth. I'm like, hey, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. On the inside, I'm like, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. I was like out of my mind.
Absolutely.
And
popped the question.
And so I said to him, well, I said, would you do my podcast? And he goes, yeah, sure, just like that. And then we exchanged phone numbers.
He gave you his number?
He gave me his number because he said that his assistants are going to make it too complicated, so you and I will do it. And then I thought he just was like, you know.
What's
just,
his number?
Ready? It's 9-1. And end of story, he does the show. I'm rushing to get to The Daily Show. My phone rings. I don't recognize the number. I let it ring the voicemail, and this is the message on my phone.
Hi, Paul. It's Paul McCartney here. I'm going to ring you back in 5 minutes to do the podcast thing. I've got some time now. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. So if you're there in 5 minutes' time, you got me. Okay, bye.
You idiot.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I was standing in Manhattan with the phone to my ear, and I looked like those unfortunate people that have mental problems, yeah. And I just went like, exactly what I call myself. I'm like, you idiot. Mara screamed Paul McCartney. And, oh, God.
Paul Mercurio is the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning comedian. He's going to be back in town at the North Shore Center in Skokie for two shows Saturday, November 18th. You got a story to tell, or you just want to listen and watch? Permission to Speak is the show, and you can get tickets at northshorecenter.org. And what a delight, Paul. Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been great. Thank you.